We have been going through a sermon series through the book of Acts, and we've started at the beginning of this year, and we are continuing through the book of Acts, but this time we started a new sermon series called Challenges in a Jesus Community. And let me just try one more time with this. And as we have looked at what a Jesus community is about, a Jesus community is dedicated to the preaching of God's word. A Jesus community is dedicated to prayers. A Jesus community is dedicated to fellowshipping with one another. A Jesus community is a community that's dedicated to the breaking of bread and growing in intimacy with one another. That's what was shown to us in the book of Acts. Now, there are a lot of challenges, especially to these particular characteristics of a church. And that's what we've started looking at last week, and we're going to continue to look at it today. And so, let's see, we're going to go to this next slide here. And today's sermon is entitled, Just Do Something. We're going to be talking about prayer today. We talked about prayer a number of weeks ago, but we're going to be talking about prayer again today. And there's this sentiment sometimes where we just tell people or we just tell ourselves, just go and do something and don't spend so much time praying. Nobody will say that out loud, but maybe sometimes in our actions or how we actually live our daily lives, this may come out. And so that's what this title is about. It's this idea where someone says to you or someone gives the impression that you need to stop praying or you need to pray a little less and you just need to go out and do something. All right, so why don't we look at Acts chapter 4, and if you have your Bibles, would you open it up to Acts chapter 4 with me? And there are these blue Bibles that are outside if you didn't carry one. Sometimes it's really nice to have a physical Bible, but it's also all right to have an electronic copy. Acts chapter 4, starting in verse 23, and we'll read all the way to verse 31. This is the reading of God's word. Oh, by the way, if you do have one of these Bibles from outside, we're looking at page 912. All right. Acts chapter 4, verse 23 to 31. This is the reading of God's word. When they were released, they went to their friends and reported what the chief priests and the elders had said to them. And when they heard it, they lifted their voices together to God and said, Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them, who through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit, Why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed. For truly in this city there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness, while you stretch out your hand to heal and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. Amen. When a person prays, what is it that they usually pray about? Take a time to think about that. Maybe you might think about what you usually pray about or what other people usually ask for you to pray about. When a person prays on their own, what do they usually pray about? Okay, a little bit of a harder question now. When people gather together to pray, how might their prayer begin to change? What do people end up praying about when people gather together to pray? Just think about that for a little bit. Maybe for some of you, it might be the same things that people pray about. Let's change that question now. What would people pray about if the whole church gathers together like we are now, if the whole church gathers together and we begin to pray together, what would a church, what would be the topic that people pray about? Is it different from when a person prays individually? Let's take it one step further. What if all the different churches in a given city, all the different churches were to gather together? And they were to pray together. What would be their prayer request? What would they be praying about at that point? So I don't know what kinds of answers you guys have been thinking about. But I believe that as you gather more and more people, and you gather people from all different backgrounds, and you gather people from the church or maybe even from different churches, the more and more people are gathered together, the less and less the prayers are selfish. And you begin to pray not just for yourself, but you begin to pray for other people, and you begin to pray for the things that are going around in the church, and you begin to also pray for things that are happening in this city. The more and more people gather together to pray, the more people become less selfish and begin to pray about things that are outside of their needs. Now, this is really important because I believe that for not only our church, but so many churches have lost the importance of gathering together to pray. So many churches have talked about prayer, but they only talk about how you need to meet with God. And you know, if you think about it, all the other religions out there, when they go to pray, a lot of times it's a prayer about what I need, and you yourself individually go to your God or your idol or whatever, and you pray about your own needs. But it's rare to see any other religion where people come together and they pray to God together for each other. You know, you've seen people gather together to pray in front of an altar together, but they're not necessarily praying for each other at that point. They're just praying to their God for what they want. You see, Christianity is unique. Christianity makes it an important thing for us to gather together, to pray together, and this is actually something that helps us to take our eyes off of the things that are going on in my own life that causes me anxiousness and all these things, and it actually helps us together to look to God together and to begin to pray for things that are beyond ourselves. It's not only important, it's necessary for our Christian lives for us to come together to pray together. The main idea for today's sermon is pray to the sovereign Lord often and together. Pray to the sovereign Lord often and together. The three points that we'll be going through today are: number one, pray; number two, to the sovereign Lord; and number three, often and together. It's just the main idea broken up into different parts. All right, so pray to the sovereign Lord often and together. What's the background of our passage today? Well, we went through the passage previous to our passage today last week. We talked about how a miracle was performed by Peter and John. They went to the temple to pray, and they had these regular prayer times throughout the day. They went to the temple to pray, and there was a lame man that was on the way, and he asked for alms and held out his palm, and this is what Peter did say: "Silver and gold I have none, but such as I have, I give to thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk." And a miracle was performed. This person actually stood up and started leaping and walking and praising God. And then Peter started telling all the people around, "This happened because Jesus Christ died and rose again. This is possible today because Jesus Christ rose again from the dead." And then these people came, and the rulers, the priests of the temple, they came and they said, "We don't like you talking about Jesus Christ. We don't like you talking about how there's a resurrection. And so we're going to tell you to stop. And if you don't stop, we're going to do all kinds of bad things to you." And Peter and John, they boldly replied saying, you think carefully right now whether it's important for us to obey you or to obey our God. But as they left that place, the priests and the other leaders, they threatened them with all kinds of threats, and then they left and they parted ways. And so as the Peter and John, they came back, what they had on their minds were all these threats. They said a very bold statement, and they said, you know, we're going to stand up against you, and we're going to say we're going to obey God and not you. But they heard all these threats. And now this is where we come to our passage today. They respond. In the beginning of the passage, it says that they went to their friends and reported what the chief priests and the elders had said to them. And when they heard it, they lifted their voices together to God. And then they began to pray. We're going to first look at what this prayer was about. All right, so this is what this first point is about. What was in their prayer? What did they actually pray about when they gathered together? Now, here's a summary of everything. I'm not going to keep showing this, so if you want to just memorize this right now, do that. If you want to take a picture, you could do that too. I'm not saying you should, but Acts 4, the group prayer, what are the contents of it? Verse 23 talks about how they came together with friends. Verse 24 talks about how someone initiated the prayer gathering. Someone actually initiated it for them to be able to gather together and pray. Verse 24b, the second part of verse 24, talks about how they acknowledged God first in their prayer. The very first thing that they did was they acknowledged God. And then verse 25 and 26, they included scripture in their prayer. And then verse 27, they applied the scripture to Jesus. This is a really important idea. And then in verse 29, there was a request. Finally, the request comes out, and the request is not for deliverance. This is really important to note. It's not for deliverance, but for endurance. Endurance that even though if there are these threats that come their way, that they may continue in speaking what is true with boldness. That was their prayer. And so they're asking not for God to deliver them so that there will be no more threats, but they're asking God to help them through the threats, to help them walk through this difficult time, and to continue to do what was right. And in verse 31, what we find is that God actually answered their prayer, and they continue to speak boldly about Jesus Christ. So let's go through it just little by little. When they were released, they went to their friends and reported what the chief priests and the elders had said to them. You know, it's interesting that it says that they actually went to their friends. It didn't say that the whole church gathered together. What it says is that they went to their friends and reported what the chief priests and the elders had said to them. Now, one question that I want to ask is that when you run into something, when you go through something in your own lives, do you have people that you could turn to, that you could pray with? Who would be the people that you turn to pray with? Who would be the people that you would gather together and say, you know what, guys, I really need prayer? And if you don't have anyone, because you're new to Taiwan, you're new at our church, and some of you, you've been new for the past 2 years, you're still new. You feel like you're still new to our church. If that's you, I would highly encourage you. Get involved in the church. Stick around a bit longer. Get to know other people. You might be very busy and you might need to go home quickly. That might be true, but still, make the sacrifice. Stick around. Get to know people in the church. Or make the time. Schedule it into your schedule to go to a community group and get to know other people. This is really important for us to be able to come together and pray. And so I want to ask, who are the people that you would turn to when you go through something so that they could pray with you together? The next part it says, and when they heard it, they lifted their voices together to God and said. Someone had to initiate the prayer. As Peter and John, they were talking about this is what happened. And man, they threatened us with these things. Someone actually had to stop them and say, hey, let's pray together. You know, this is one thing that I love about our elder, David McCrailed. This is what he does. Even in our session meetings, even in our elders meetings, we're talking about some issue, and then he says, let's pray about it right now. And we pray together. We pray for that certain topic. You know, there's a necessity for someone within the group, not just for everyone to be like, oh, yeah, that's terrible. We'll pray for you. And then you go your own way. Right? Rather, pray on the spot. And we need people to speak up and say, you know what? I know that there's people all around us after the service is done and someone's telling you about something. It's important for someone to say, you know, even though there's all these distracting things, let's go somewhere right now and let's pray right now. Let's pray. We need people to initiate that prayer time and to cause everyone's focus to go to God so that in that moment, whether it's everyone praying together, or whether it's one person representing the prayer and praying to God and everyone listening and agreeing and saying, amen, amen, I agree with that part. I agree with that part of the prayer. Either way, whether it's one person or everyone together, it's important for us to pray and someone to initiate that. And it's interesting because the prayer that appears is that it actually has the prayer written out. And so maybe in this particular situation, someone represented everyone in that group and started to pray this prayer. And when this person initiated this prayer, they also had in mind that we need to bring in scripture. We need to connect this to Jesus. We need to have the right kind of prayer where it's not just about our own prayers, our own needs, but it's about looking to God and trusting Him. And so when a person is leading the group in prayer, it can't just be about, you know, just help us, God, to be healed so that all the bad things would go away and so that we would have enough money and that we would have more money and so that we could get that car that we finally wanted. You know, the prayer, whoever's leading that prayer needs to initiate the prayer and be thinking about, what does God want for us right now? You see, when people gather together to pray, those are the kinds of thoughts that we need to have. What is it that God wants for us right now? You might even pray a prayer like, God, I don't know what you want for us right now, but we ask that you show us right now how you are leading us. The prayer starts with, Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them. When you start off a prayer, it's important to think about how you start off. And sometimes we pray just the same old thing every time, and we forget what we're even saying. Okay, so for me, growing up, I always said, Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for this food. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And sometimes, as I sit down to pray, before a meal, I just say that prayer and I just say amen, and I don't even remember what I prayed. Or I do remember because it's the same thing, but I don't even remember just the what I'm even saying. I just say the same thing every time. And then so it's like it wasn't even a prayer. I'm just saying the same thing over and over again. But if I were to stop and I think about, Dear Lord, You are my beloved God. You care about me. We have a relationship. Dear Lord, You are also my master. You are the God that's taking care of everything in this world. In this prayer, it starts off with Sovereign Lord. You are the one that's in control of everything. You are the king over all the universe. You're the one that's in control. You are able to command things and it will happen. We're looking to You, our Sovereign Lord. You see, it's important for us to know who we're even talking to when we start off our prayer. Because as we look at this, it even adds a little part and it says, Who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them? When we're saying, Sovereign Lord, You created everything, what we're also saying at the same time is, no matter what I'm going through right now, You have the power to do anything with this, whether to deliver me, and to make everything better or to keep me going through this situation to make something else better for your glory, for your power, for your goodness, for your namesake, so that everyone else, so that other people would come to know you. Whatever direction you're heading, you're taking us, God, I know that you're still in control. Man, how our prayers would change if we have that beginning part and we're understanding what that's all about when we address our God. And it goes on to say, who through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit, and then it quotes scripture. It's talking about how it's bringing in scripture, right? And it doesn't just say, and this is what David said. No, it says, I believe that you, God, through the Holy Spirit, through this person that prayed this prayer back then, that you have spoken to us in this way. That's why it says, said by the Holy Spirit. You know, when I pray sometimes, or when I talk with some people sometimes, I say a prayer in my mind. And I say, God, I believe and I trust that whatever words are coming out of my mouth, you are the one that's giving me the words to speak. Now, sometimes I may make a mistake. Sometimes I may offend people. But when my heart is like, God, I trust that you're going to give me the words to speak, again, even if I mess up, I trust that God is somehow going to use the words that I've said to bless the other person, to cause the other person to think a little bit. And so even if I were to just pray, I trust that even through my prayer, God is going to be speaking through me. So I don't have to be afraid of me praying the wrong way. I just say whatever comes to my mind, and I'm praying representing we who are weak and we who are not able to do anything without our God. And so me as a weak person, I'm going to pray to God because I know that God is strong. I don't even have to be afraid about me representing, me coming up to the front and praying for the whole church because I trust that God's going to speak through me. Now, I want to be clear. It doesn't mean that as we speak today that we're going to be creating new scripture. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is that the Holy Spirit is working to even guide us, even through every word that we speak. And that gives us confidence to pray together. And then he goes on to quote the passage. Why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed. And this is so important that it says this, because then they go on to connect the scriptures to Jesus. This quote came from Psalm 2, but they connect it to Jesus. And it uses this word, Lord and anointed. And it says, for truly in this city, they were gathered together against your holy servant, Jesus, whom you anointed. And it goes on to talk about how it references Psalm 2. And it says, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, all of these were against his servant, the Father's servant, Jesus, the anointed. To do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. And now, Lord, so this is where their request comes in. And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness. You see, it's interesting here. The prayer is not, so Lord, please take away these threats. The request is not, so Lord, please, keep us safe somehow. Keep us safe. That's not the request. The request is not to have all the bad things go away. The request is, no matter what I face right now, I see how my Jesus died and rose again. No matter what kind of threats may come towards me, I believe that because Jesus died and rose again, he's able to also make me rise again. No matter what kind of death I experience, no matter what kind of pain and sorrow, no matter what kind of sickness I face, it doesn't matter. Because I'm going to rise again. I trust my sovereign Lord that He's going to do something through my life. So that everything that I go through, there is a purpose in it. So why would I want to escape that purpose? By quickly, in some way, trying to escape my sickness. Or quickly trying to escape this situation where I don't have a job. It doesn't mean you don't keep looking for a job. You keep looking for a job, but you find rest in the Lord. And you say, Jesus, I know you have something in mind right now. Help me go through this. Help me to continue to hold on to your truth and speak your truth and to do it boldly. Speak your truth to others, but also to boldly speak your truth to myself. I need to hear your truth in my own life. While you stretch out your hand to heal and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. This is the exact part where it's saying, help us, guide us to speak boldly as you continue to do your work of healing in our lives. As you continue to do the work of doing signs and wonders in our lives. I trust you, Jesus, that even if we're walking through the valley, you're going to do your mighty work. I trust you, God. We trust you, God. We have gathered together to pray together to say that we trust you, God. Sometimes when we pray on our own, we don't have that kind of faith. That's why we need to come together to pray. And it says, and when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. So we've run through what the prayer was about, what the group prayer was about. And there's so much that we could learn just by going slowly through this prayer. If you were to go back and just look at this passage again and just slowly think through each word, I'm sure that you're going to gather so much. You're going to learn so much from it. But I want us to focus on this particular part about acknowledging God. I've already talked about it a bit, but I want us to look, just think about this a little bit more and think about this carefully. Because this is so important, how you start off your prayer and how you acknowledge God at the beginning of your prayer and letting that guide the rest of your prayer is just so important. So I want us to focus on that and have our second point be to the sovereign Lord. Pray to the sovereign Lord. You know, when we pray, sometimes people might have this thought of like, you know, I'm just going to pray, and then I'm just going to get to what I need to do. Dear Lord, help me with my work today, this morning. And then you go to work, and you forget your prayer, and you're just doing your work, and you're anxious, and you're worried, and you get stressed and everything. And you forget your prayer that you prayed that, God, you're in control, and I know that you're going to guide me and help me. And whatever I face throughout today, that you have your purpose in it. It's so easy for us to pray. It's so easy for us not to even pray in the morning and just start our day as if God's going to do something or we don't even have God in mind. We just hope that the day's going to be okay. And it's almost like we're telling ourselves or we're telling other people, just do something. You don't need to pray. I mean, you should pray, but you're too busy, right? Just go and just get your stuff done. Just go and do something. Even if you don't tell other people, just do something, you're showing it by your actions. It's almost like my kids sometimes. Every once in a while, my daughters, they wake up in the morning and they lay down on their bed. And I say, get up. Time to go to school. Get dressed. And they say, Daddy, can you just get my clothes for me? It's almost like if we were to just make an analogy and kind of try to fit these two ideas together, it's almost like she's telling me She's asking her father, she's almost like, I won't use the word pray, but you guys get the idea, right? She's talking to me and asking me to do something for her, right? Daddy, can you just, I'm just so tired. Can you please just get my clothes for me? What's my response? You do it. You know how to get up and get your clothes. You get up and do it. Just do something. Right? And sometimes that's our mentality, that I just need to get up and do something. Rather than continually leaning and resting on our Father. We have the idea that we just need to get up and do something. And so our prayers turn into an unholy prayer. And this is what our prayers might turn into. O servant God. Not, O sovereign God, right? O servant God. I've worked so hard to get to where I am now. I said that I will do my best to achieve my goals, and I've done them. I'm working hard, God. I'm making sure that I'm living a good, trying to live a good life. I'm doing my best. And oh, what a pity it will be if I lose my opportunity to get married or to get a job, or if I lose my opportunity to be a good person or to be successful at work or to go up the work ladder. Oh, God, what a pity. Oh, man, God, I'm so stressed about this. I'm just so worried about this. What a pity it would be if things just don't work out the way that I want, my servant God. For this is what indeed seems to be happening right now, that I'm not getting this opportunity that I'm looking for, that I want. So now, look at what I'm going through, God, and grant me healing, and grant me signs, and grant me wonders to fulfill what I want. I myself ask for this in my name. Amen. Of course, this prayer sounds funny. But a lot of times when we pray, this is how we pray. Lord, this is what I want. Lord, life sucks. Help me. Lord, and when we ask people to pray for us, we say, hey, please pray that I could get healed. There's nothing wrong with this. Let me be clear. There's nothing wrong with this. It's okay to ask people to pray for you. But let's think about our mindset when we ask for that. What's our mindset? Is it, this is just what I want, because so that if I get better, then I can just get back to living a good life and being healthy and whatever. And in that picture, God is not in that picture. Right? We pray for our things to get better at our jobs. We pray for our parents not to be such bad parents anymore. We pray that, and maybe that's more when we're in our youth, we pray that our children would become better. We pray for all these kinds of things, but rarely are we actually praying, not my will, but your will be done. Rarely do we pray, give us boldness to face what we're facing right now as you take us through it. Rather, our prayers are, God, just make it like a microwave, get done with it, and let's get done with this. I want to get out of this situation. You know, what's really interesting is that when we talk about our sovereign Lord, it's really interesting that they quoted from Psalm 2. Because Psalm 2 talks about how God is powerful and he's able to conquer anything. They quoted Psalm 2 on purpose. And so I wanted us to go through it real quick. It starts off with, why do the nations rage? This is the exact quote that we find in our passage today in Acts. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, Let us burst their... Hold on one second. Okay. I did not put in the whole psalm, so that's why it sounds a little strange. Okay, so this is just the exact quote, and I just wanted to point out this was the exact quote. Okay, so, and then here, the people are proud, and they respond by saying, "Let us burst their bonds apart and cast away their cords from us." But this is what God's response is. You know, the people are saying, "We're going to go against God, and we're going to go against God's people." But this is what God responds. This is how God responds. "He who sits in the heavens laughs." It's basically like, you know, all these, like you're a human being, and all these little ants, they come up and they're like, "Charge! Let's fight against this human being!" And the human looks at all these ants and they're like, "What are you guys doing?" Right? "He who sits in the heavens laughs, and the Lord holds them in derision. Then he will speak to them in his wrath and terrify them in his fury, saying, 'As for me, I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill. I will tell of the decree. The Lord said to me, You are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your heritage and the ends of the earth your possession.'" You see, what God is saying here, even though it's David that's speaking, but David, by the Holy Spirit, was speaking what God was saying. And what God is basically saying is that I have my plan. And no matter how much the enemies, they try to fight against me, no matter how many lies exist in this world, no matter how much people are fighting against my people, no matter how much persecution exists in this world, I want everyone to know that I have set my king, my son, Jesus Christ, on the throne. He is the ruler of all things, and he will receive his reward, which is the nations. People will come to believe from all different parts of the world, and people will come to acknowledge that Jesus Christ is king. So, enemies, no matter what you're plotting today, you have no way of succeeding. And in a similar way, what God is saying to his people is this: no matter how big your enemy looks, no matter how big the sickness looks, no matter how big the situation is with your children, no matter how hard life might get, remember, there's no enemy that can conquer your God. Your God, your sovereign Lord, is powerful. Find confidence in that. And it ends the psalm by saying, "You shall break them with a rod of iron and dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Now, therefore, O kings, be wise. Be warned, O rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way, for his wrath is quickly kindled. Blessed are all who take refuge in him." What it's saying is, be wise and think carefully about what you're doing, enemies, because God's going to conquer. He's going to win out. But let me say this. In this point of the sermon, I need to have us think carefully, because when we say our unholy prayers and we make God to be our servant by what we request, what we're saying is that we are the sovereign one. We are the one that's in control. And we're trying to control God to give us what we want. And in this way, we become enemies of God. Even through our prayers, we may become enemies of God. And so it says in the previous verse, serve the Lord with fear and trembling. And kiss the Son. Show your allegiance to Jesus Christ. Don't keep putting yourself up as if you're the one that's in control. as if what you want is so important more than what God wants. Lest he be angry and you perish in the way, for his wrath is quickly kindled. And then it ends with this: blessed are all who take refuge in him. Because remember, Jesus is the king. But the way that Jesus became king was that he humbled himself and he died for you. Christians, remember that Jesus Christ died for your sins. Even when you're continually praying unholy prayers, he died for those sins that you've committed against him. And he rose again, and he became the king over all the earth, over all the universe, over all of history, over all time. And so, brothers and sisters in Christ, take refuge in Jesus Christ. Let's see if this is still working. So we come to our last point here. We need to be praying with the pattern of prayer that's presented. And this is especially the case when we come together in group prayer. And we need to remember together that our God is the sovereign Lord. And the way that we start off our prayer and we forget and we just go on praying about what we want, that's where we fail and we try to grab control of our own lives. But remember who we're praying to. We're praying to our dear, beloved Lord Jesus Christ, who died for our sins and rose again from the dead. He's the one that's in control of everything. And he will help us through whatever we're facing. It might not mean that he'll take away the hardship, but what it will mean is that he is with you, giving you wisdom and strength and endurance and boldness to go through whatever you're going through. And the way that we will remember this is by coming together and praying often together. Because remember, when we just keep praying on our own, that's when we find ourselves weak. That's when we find ourselves forgetting. But when we do come together, we begin to take our eyes off of our own needs. We remember that God is filling all our needs, that God is with us, and we begin to pray for other things that are beyond just our own needs. We begin to see how great our God is. And our trust grows in him. You know, Peter and John, they went to the temple to pray often. Peter and John, they went to pray to the temple. And even when they went to pray often at the temple, there were other times that they came together and they gathered their friends together and they prayed together. At our church, we have something where we pray often together. That's the Sunday service. But there are other times that we also gather together to pray. The engine room that's announced almost every single week, we gather together to pray online. And once a month, we gather in person to pray. Every Sunday morning, we meet at 10 o'clock, and we might talk a little bit, but we pray from 10 to 10:30. Every Sunday morning, I invite you to come and join us. This is not just an invitation, but I'm saying we need to come together and pray. Because if you don't, you're going to begin to continue to pray, or you're going to continue to pray unholy prayers, and you're going to find yourself weaker and weaker and feeling like you're not a strong Christian, forgetting that God is the one that's in charge. God is the one that's working in your life now. We need to come together to pray together often, and we need to do it together. You know, the last time that we had an in-person prayer time, it was just such a really wonderful time. We shed tears together. I think I shed the most tears. But we shed tears together. We were kneeling on our knees. We were standing together. We were praising God together. And we're crying out, lifting our voices together to God. And we're praying for each other. It was just such a wonderful time. We went around sharing afterwards just some of the things that we felt. And these were some of the things that they said. And I try to capture the idea, not word for word. Someone said that they were glad that they came. And they felt refreshed.
Because before, they felt like they didn't really want to come. They were tired and things like that. But when they came and they were part of it, they felt really just refreshed. Someone else said that they were really encouraged just being able to come together and praying. Someone said it reminded them of when they used to pray in their home country and those wonderful times that they remembered, but for a period of time they weren't able to pray like they used to. But when they came, they were reminded and encouraged by the fact that he was able to pray just as he did in the past. We need to come together to pray. You know, you guys don't know this, but I flew in from Bangkok this morning at 3 a.m. I arrived at 3 a.m. and I'm really tired. Please pray for me. Just kidding. I was in Bangkok because I was gathered together with a bunch of other pastors and church leaders from all around, especially Southeast Asia. And these were all people that were Chinese speakers, Mandarin speakers. And the whole conference was in Mandarin. And what was that sound? It's almost like, oh man, yeah, Mandarin's so hard. Thank you for being compassionate and sympathizing with me. But it was really good because the conference wasn't really about just trying to get a lot of knowledge, but there was a lot of time of praying together. And it was just really good just to be there together and to pray together with all these brothers and sisters from different parts of the world. I want to say, when we prayed like that, we weren't necessarily just praying for each other's needs, but we were praying for the salvation of God's people. We were praying for people to come to draw closer to God. We were praying that more and more people would come to believe in Jesus Christ. We were praying that the churches would become stronger and that they would grow and that there would be more and more church plants around. We were praying that God's will would be done, not our own will. Dear Friendship Presbyterian Church, let's gather together. Let's come together and let's pray to our sovereign Lord often and together. Let's pray. Sovereign Lord, we come before you remembering that you are in control of all things. Lord, would you draw our hearts closer and closer to you? Would you give us the motivation and the strength to gather together and pray? And as we do pray, give us the boldness that we need to keep doing and to keep going through things, even the difficult things in our lives, as we share and proclaim your truth to our own hearts and even to others around. May we do it for your glory. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.